This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Welcome to The Real Sex Education, lovely listeners. We love you.
Mm.
No?
No. Tulips in the garden, tulips in the park, but the tulips I love best are the tulips in the dark.
Which lips? That's the question.
Oh no.
No? Too much? Mm. Wait, come on, this is a real sex education.
No.
Why is it dark?
No, that was nice and dark, that was nice and innocent. That wasn't...
Two lips in the dark else. Doesn't sound very innocent to me.
I was imagining lips that like each other.
Yeah. In the dark, though, just sounds... That sounds Halloween-y. Sinister.
Well, not if you've just switched the light off.
Or you're in between someone's legs.
No! Stop what? It! Stop what? It! Oh, you're traumatising me. Don't. Oh.
Sorry. Well, good start, everyone. A very good start. This is Kate Campbell, an accredited sex and relationship therapist. Hello, Mum.
Signing out!
No, what? You can't go now. You can't leave like that. That's insane.
Watch me. Come on, right. Get on with it then.
Wow, this is meant to be such a lovely special Valentine's Day episode. And would you mean, hurry up, get on with it then? This isn't a very nice start, is it? This is not the lovely, you know, heartfelt vibe we're going for.
Do you know your dad wanted to call your brother Valentine?
I did know that. And if he'd had his way with me, what would I have been called?
Tristram.
What do we think about that? We settled for that as one of my two middle names.
Yeah.
Which I have to tell people with great shame. I don't even know if I can spell it. I think I had to spell it for an exam. And I, you know, you had to write your full name. And I was like, I don't know if it's Tristram or Tristram. So I think I wrote both.
So Diggory, Tristram, Tristram.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the 11 plus where famously, one of the marks, I believe famously in the 11 plus, this
it's
exam we
name.
Had to do when we were a kid was for your name, writing your name. And I thought, how the fuck have I got that wrong to start with? I can't even write that down.
Nobody told you what your name was.
No, not properly anyway.
Oh dear.
Wow.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
So we're all traumatised today.
Yeah, it's a great start.
It's a really good start.
But thank you so much for joining us, everyone. If you haven't tuned out already, Mum obviously has famously signed out.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Oh, God.
Wasn't that the right point?
This is going to be a weird episode. I just know it's going to be a weird episode. I was saying to Mum off air, I had things planned for this episode. We might talk vaguely about date nights and that sort of thing, but also maybe we'll just have some ruddy fun. You know, it's Valentine's.
It's not been fun so far.
What, the episode or just us doing the entire show? Or...
Yeah. Today. Where's the fun in this?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Listen, what are your thoughts on Valentine's? Maybe personally, and then, but also as a therapist, you know, does Valentine's have any place in the therapy room? Do people fret about it? Do they look forward to it? Is it a relationship saver, a relationship destroyer?
Well, it's funny because sometimes you can have a night off because people say, oh, we can't come to you. I mean, couples say, we can't come to you on Valentine's Day. Oh, no, we've got to go out. Or they come and see you and they say, oh, we're just on our way to a Valentine's meal.
Ooh.
Or, you know, whatever, or that kind of thing. And what you always have to say is, oh, don't put too much pressure on Valentine's Day. Because let's face it, an awful lot of couples have got kids or something, or they're very busy at work and they go out and they're just exhausted. And it's an opportunity to have a drink. So they drink too much and then they're expecting sex and then they're all cross because it doesn't happen the way they expected it to. Or they're too tired for it and they fall asleep or they burp or fart or something and they get cross with one another and then they have a row. So maybe don't expect necessarily sex. Unless you do Valentine's Day in bed, in which case maybe, possibly.
Maybe you can expect sex. Well, actually, funnily enough, maybe we can get into this now because and this applies for Valentine's, but also date night in general.
Don't like date night.
Why don't you like date night?
Well, because of that pressure on it.
Yeah. So just explain for people that don't know what date night is.
Well, it's a night you put aside as a couple, especially for just your special night. And a lot of people think, okay, that's the night to have sex.
Yeah.
And that's what puts the pressure on it. So all evening, instead of relaxing and really enjoying one another's company, you're either drinking as much as you possibly can because you're let free, or you're worrying all night about sex at the end of it, or both. And neither really are conducive. But on the positive side, lots of people wake up in the morning and do the sex then.
Yeah.
If they've had a nice evening where they haven't been sort of obsessing about how it's going to end, then they quite often are in such a good mood that they feel jiggy in the morning.
Yeah. What does the fact that you're not a big fan of date night, you know, let's say, you know, me and my wife, every Friday we get the babysitter in and every Friday we have date night. And we'll go to the movies or we'll go to dinner or we'll do this, that and the other. And, you know, it's always my hope that at the end of the night we'll have sex. Does this not fly in the face of you saying, well, people should schedule stuff? And these people are scheduling something. It's every Friday. They get the same babysitter.
No, and if they do, if it's actually scheduled or schedule the opportunity where sex will be possible is what I normally say. Some kind of intimate time. And maybe some kind of sex, but sex is there on a spectrum, isn't it? From a little peck, you know, to force nine sex.
Yeah.
So I would always advocate that possibility rather than, oh, you know, I'm going to get my leg over. Yeah. So that's a bit different. And I would definitely say, yeah, you know, scheduling, if you're doing it every Friday, then you perhaps feel more relaxed about it anyway, if you're doing it every week. But it's a different thing where you go, we have date night once a month. And it's this big deal with this big build up and then it's a disappointment. That's what's difficult because it's not then a time for you to relax and enjoy one another's company without the children or work or whatever. It's an opportunity to panic about what will happen at the end.
Yeah. Well, here we go. How about this? The five things to make sure your date night is a success.
What are they?
Let me go through them. I'll see what you make of these as I go through them. I've written this little list here and we can expand on these together whether you think this is right or not. And this can obviously be because, you know, you might be listening to this episode and a couple of days later, it's Valentine's Day. So you might be planning Valentine's Day, but this can go for any date night. You know, this all counts. So my point number one sort of goes in what you're saying. Plan carefully. Annoyingly, also, that means don't leave it to the last minute. So if you are planning Valentine's Day and you're listening to this on the Monday and Valentine's Day is Wednesday, it is slightly late.
But there's still time.
But there's still time.
Everywhere will be booked. But there's still time to plan something.
Yeah, exactly. You can plan something fun. And but this is the thing about the planning carefully as well, is you've got to be clear about who is the person booking and planning what.
Absolutely.
You can't assume that the other one's doing something. And also, if let's say you always book everything and you think, okay, well, fine. This is the date night where it's their turn. Don't assume they're going to do it because then it will look like when they haven't done anything, you've set them up. If you want them to do it, you've really got to tell them.
Yes, absolutely. Also, I'd say play to your strengths because if you're absolutely rubbish at organising a date, the other partner might feel, why is it always left to me? And that is a conversation to have. But if they're really good at organising a holiday, then let them organise the holiday. You organise the date.
Yeah, right.
I kind of suspect they'd be good at neither if they're not good at one. But you know,
I feel like I'm being called out here. In fact,
you probably are actually.
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like I'm bad at both those things.
What are you good at, though? What do you do to make up for it? No, actually, don't tell me.
We don't want to make this Valentine's Day episode any more traumatic for you.
No.
Okay, well, how about this, though? Because this is quite interesting, because you said talking about that and mentioning that. I'm going to skip ahead to one of my other points. Don't use the evening to settle scores.
Absolutely not.
And this kind of like melds into the next point, which is stick-to-date conversation. But this is meant to be a fun evening. Mm. And like you're a good example before, where it was like, okay, let's say you have kids or you're really busy all the time, you're too tired. Mm. And then all the expectations, like this evening that you've put aside, where it's just you two, it can turn into either a chance to like bicker or a chance to talk about the kids, or a chance to talk about work, or a chance to talk about your pets, or a chance to start getting your diaries out and planning things, but all sort of admin or heavy stuff. That isn't what this night is about.
No complaint.
Yeah. Don't do any complaining.
No.
Yeah.
Just being positive and saying, oh, this is nice, isn't it?
That's the way to do it, I think. No setting scores, sticking to the date conversation. Also, another good point, leaving enough time. Because if it is a babysitter or something, they might be there going, oh, you know, you've got to come home now because it's 12 and you're like, shit, we're not quite done here. It's terrible if you have to cut a drink short or something. So leave enough time. Or if you don't have enough time, set the expectations early and be like, well, we have to be home by X time, and get all your fun done as soon as possible, or get there as early as possible as well. Mm. And here's a good one. This is one from your book. Finish the evening with a kiss. And this kind of comes back to the stuff that you're talking about with the pressure on sex. Is frequently there are the high expectations of sex, and that can mean that people during are worried about it. When the actual sex is happening, they're thinking, oh God, you know, is this good enough? Does this live up to the date night experience? Or, you know, the Valentine's one. Mm. But if you agree beforehand that what you will do is have a kiss at the end of the night and snuggle up in bed together and just be together and intimate and have a nice cuddle, then no one's a loser.
No, absolutely. I mean, if that's agreed, yeah. You want to have a plan before you go. You want to know what you're basically expecting, because so often people go out and they've got a different experience planned.
Yeah.
So you want to both be on the same page as far as that's concerned.
And that can be fun. Like, if you do think, okay, well, tonight there might be some sex on the cards, like the planning could be part of like flirting with each other.
Absolutely.
And during the day being like, oh, later on is going to be great, and this, and we're going to do this, that, and the other, which is great. But if you don't have that kind of relationship, or that sort of thing isn't really being talked about, you can't really assume that.
You can't. And even if you do, even if you are both flirting and both feeling that you really, really horny and you're going to have sex later, if you then feel really tired and just want to go to sleep now because I've had just too much champagne, then don't be cross about it. Just say, well, okay, tomorrow is another day.
Yeah,
we can go on feeling horny and flirting.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that specific moment, because otherwise, like you say, the pressure is all on that, and then you'll feel like it's all ruined. But there's
plenty of time. Just be kind to one another. Don't go around feeling rejected all over the place, because there's nothing less sexy.
If the sex is supposed to be special, though, how do you try and keep that?
If you want to do it, if this is your plan, if your plan is sex, you know, let's say that would be lovely if it was, then people do all kinds of things. I mean, they go in for the flowers and chocolates and things like that. And, you know, petals on the bed are always a good thing. So you know, and quite often if you're in a florist, you can always ask if you've got any sort of petals that fell on the floor or anything. You know, you don't have to go
spending
5 quid on a rose to sprinkle over the bed to pull apart. You know, think about the environment and nice smells and what you both want from it, and be complimentary to one another. Mm. You know, pretend you like one another.
Yeah, that's in the spirit of things. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Clean your teeth.
That's have a wash, for God's sake.
And have a wash, because you know what? You know, it might be that kind of thing where you have drunk a lot. You said before about drinking a lot of alcohol. You might get back. You might have horrible tasting breath. So that's a good point. Clean your teeth. Take your time as well, because, you know, that
definitely.
You don't want it to be a rushed thing or anything like that. You want this to be good fun. Good piece of advice as well in a book that I've been reading called The Relate Guide to Sex and Intimacy by Kate Campbell. Have all your bits and pieces ready. If we are talking contraception or if we are talking sex toys, stuff like that, you don't want to be running around looking for them in that moment. So maybe the night beforehand, just put them somewhere, you know, discreet, but like easily gettable, which is good. And then afterwards, this is probably the main point, is the cuddling and the intimacy again. That's what it's all really about.
Yeah.
That's a I mean, you know,
some people have Valentine's in bed. I mean, if you can't go out because you've got little children or something and you can't get a babysitter, then you can do that. You can have your strawberries dipped in chocolate, your roses, your champagne or your fizz anyway. And you can feed one another those things. You can have your little hamper with special foods on it. Not meat pie or faggots or anything like that. You know,
whoa.
Food that is, food that is very, very sexy, not food like a saveloy or a meat pie or anything like that.
Hang on a minute. What was the thing you used? It sounded like a slur, a homophobic slur. What is a faggot?
It's like a sort of meatballs.
Made of minced offcuts. And offal.
That's why I said it again, not like a saveloy or a what's it, so that you could cut that out if you wanted to. Because I realised
well, no,
that
people might not.
Because you made a face and I thought, oh yeah, of course. People might not understand. If an American was listening, they might not know that a faggot is a meatball.
Right, yes. And well, I mean, can't call me... What's an American name? Call me Hunter Biden. I don't know.
Call me Yank. No,
call me Yank. Yank me off.
No, Yank. Yank is also pejorative, isn't it? So
yeah, Yank's
not
great.
No, we can't say that. Sorry. Oh, well. I'm not having the best day, am I?
No, you're having a great day.
No,
you're having
from
a great
that
day,
point
you're
of
fine.
View, with faggots and yanking. Not good.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Look, let's go back to the rose petals and the soft music.
Well, no, but hang on. But for Valentine's, that is where the pressure is, though. Do some any of your clients, do they fall under that pressure or?
Yeah,
or,
of course. People often feel they've got to make it super special and there's a lot of expectation and then things seem to go terribly wrong. I mean, the things that I've heard about happening are quite comical. Like more than once I've heard about people putting something like a scarf over a lamp and it catching fire.
Oh god.
I've heard of that.
Why? What, to give it to the room
to
sort of reddish
a red tinge or something. They want an ambiance and then they set fire to the house. I've heard of people, you know, somebody tasked with getting some sexy food, a sexy hamper, going off and literally getting pork pies and things like that, and there being crumbs all over the bed, and the other partner going, "You can change the bed."
What now, would sexy food be, though?
Well, and
were they thinking whipped
oysters,
cream?
Yeah,
is oyster okay? I know oyster is an aphrodisiac, an aphrodisiac being a food that apparently, if you eat, it does make you horny. But is an oyster actually a sexy food? Really?
Well, I mean, it's got an interesting texture.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people would say yes. Yeah.
I think a lot of people would say absolutely not as well.
Well, you know? Either think that it feels super sensual, in which case, fantastic, or you think it's like snot. So one or the other.
yeah, exactly. You know, oh, God, I hope no one's got their oysters for Wednesday night and now we'll put them off.
Well, then no, because they'll be the ones that think it's super sexy.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you like them, you love them. People that like them love them. The shells are quite fun afterwards. You can use them for sticking.
Sticking? What, like arts and crafts?
Yeah. or make a little flower bed border with them or... But
what if... On Wednesday, there's going to be so many people listening to this. And luckily, we've given them some great date night advice for, you know, the next time they go on a date. But they don't have a Valentine. What should they be doing on Wednesday evening?
Oh, self-love, isn't it? So things, pampering themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Lovely bath with a glass of fizz, candles, don't set fire to the house. favorite food. You can still eat oysters. You can still look after yourself, and that's the first step towards finding a partner, isn't it? If you're looking for one, is to care about yourself and show that you're a decent person worth loving. Great.
what's the news?
I switched the sound off.
Well, you clearly didn't.
I bloody did. Sounds and haptics, I switched it off. And you know what? Donald Trump does not have presidential immunity.
Ooh.
And can be prosecuted.
Well, you've heard it here really quite late.
Yeah, but... really quite a week late. Yeah. Yeah, a week ago, we learned that.
Yeah. We learned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Self-love. Obviously, there's also been the thing of galentines, where all the gals get together and they treat each other to love. I do love that. I sort of think that's sort of, you know, girl culture. It's very, very nice, very great. I don't know whether the lads will be doing that, but, you know, check in on the lads and maybe get together and take you guys out for a date as well. Go and do, I don't know, go watch a film or... go bowling or...
I went out with a colleague once on Valentine's because I was working away from home teaching.
Yes.
And we went out for dinner. I can't remember where we went, but I know it was a Valentine's night. And so they sat us down and stuck roses in front of us. And this colleague was super embarrassed. And
I was going to ask if they did think it was a date though.
No.
Okay.
No, because we used to do this all the time.
Right.
But she was like, oh, no, we're not on a date. And I was like, we are really.
Yes, good.
And she was like, stop gazing at me over the drinks.
And the candle.
Yeah.
That's like when you go in somewhere and you'll just, you know, someone will go, any allergies? And you go, no allergies, but it is his birthday. And he's like, oh, no. And then you get a free cake or something. That's the way to do it. It's like, just
well,
say
no, because everybody,
then...
everybody was, it was Valentine's, so everybody was supposed to be on a date. Although no,
that's what I mean.
We looked more like someone on a date than any of the others did.
Really?
And yeah.
What were they doing? Just sat there not speaking?
Well, not looking at one another and things like that and looking at their phones and things. We were actually chatting. I was gazing.
So did you think it was a date? Is this actually what you're trying to say?
No, I didn't think it was a date. I just once...
you were
just, I mean,
you're in the role.
Had she not been so... I mean, you know, going on a date with me, it's not that bad. Had she not reacted so strongly, I wouldn't have wound her up by trying to wink at the waitress and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, yeah. Not to attract the waitress, but to say, yes, we are on a...
Exactly,
yes,
we are on
a date. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you were like, oh, well, it's not working with my date, so maybe I'll try and get with the waitress.
No, I wouldn't do that, would I? I don't bloody know.
I'm learning a lot tonight. But hey, how about this? Then I think this is what we should go into the break with.
What?
This is your moment. If it's Monday and you don't have anything to do on Wednesday, text your mate now and say, let's go on a fake date on Wednesday.
What fun.
And that would be great fun.
Yeah.
Think up some backstory, play the characters.
Supposing there's somebody that you do actually fancy.
Okay, talk to me.
Invite them on a date.
At a fake date. And you guys, again, pretend that you fancy each other. And this is good because then, you know, then you obviously do fancy them. But this way, they have to pretend that they fancy you. So for one night, you can actually imagine that you guys are going to be together. And then,
it might be a case of fake it till you make it. I mean, I wouldn't get your hopes up if you're doing this. But you know, you could have a nice evening together.
Do it. This is your moment. Do it and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education. We're still on our Valentine's Day hype. We're feeling the love right now. Let's talk about Valentine's in a bit more detail, just because, like I say, that first half hopefully will be evergreen, but this part, we're going hard on the Valentine's stuff. Which is good. The other day, you had to text me to be like, should we do a Valentine's Day episode? And I was like, oh, shit, yeah.
I thought you were going to bring champagne and, you know, and get us to, you know, do a Valentine's-y thing. But
well, I wrote a little poem, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
And then
what,
you
roses
had your
are red? Roses
yeah, roses are red.
Violets
and
are blue.
I said hello to the listeners, which was nice.
Okay.
You know what, actually, this is a good time to keep spreading the love. We got a couple of messages recently, which I really, really appreciated. One of them onto our Instagram. We are at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
You're kidding. There's no way that took you that long. You looked at me and there's no way you didn't know then. You must be taking the piss. You must be taking the piss that you didn't know. You were looking at me being like, are you going to keep talking? Of course I'm not going to keep talking. That is absolutely your moment to say Formerly Known as Twitter. Unbelievable. How are people going
to
know?
Why do you give me such hard things to remember?
That is literally your one job in the whole thing. It's your one job.
Literally
anyway.
My one job, is it?
Sorry. Well,
and I don't get any perks at all. I get no flowers, no chocolates.
Excuse me.
No champagne.
Excuse me. You get some wonderful perks in the form of wonderful pictures of lunch.
Dear listener, I greatly appreciate your pictures of lunch. And I would love to see some pictures of your Valentine's meals. And even Ooh. If you are an individual, like we both are individuals expecting to have champagne and, you know, nice treats.
Yeah.
And we didn't get them. You get them for yourself. And we'll see some pictures of your Valentine's Day extravaganzas. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, I'd love that. Please
no
do
flesh.
Send in your pictures.
No flesh.
Well, that's mum's stipulation, not mine. Send in whatever you want and then we'll see what we can share.
Unless it's a juicy steak.
Is that a euphemism or?
No.
No, okay, good. Well, I don't know with you sometimes. I really don't know. Listen,
I'm your mother.
We're getting sidetracked. I was trying to keep the good vibes going and get and feel the love in the air.
Where were the good vibes? When did they happen?
You
I missed
need
that
to...
bit. Oh, I missed God's all sake. I know is I've been told off. My name is Twitter.
Right. We are at the RSC Pod and someone messaged in to say, hey there, I just listened to your episode from the 8th of January where you answered Ooh. My question. And I just want to say thank you because it worked.
What was it?
So they were talking about how they could orgasm masturbating, but they couldn't orgasm with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that we suggested they do was try masturbating together as a way of working. They said, my partner actually suggested masturbating together before I could bring up your advice, which I think was the same. And since then, it's definitely gotten better. Still not want to orgasm all the time, but this is absolutely fine with the both of us, and we're still having a great time.
Oh,
love from Rome.
That's so lovely. And it's Rome.
It's Rome.
City of romance.
Yeah. City romance. Of
romance.
Exactly. And as we were just talking about in the break off air, Rome, Roman, Saint Valentine.
Yes, indeed.
Italian. So let's talk about Valentine's, obviously based on Saint Valentine. And apparently it was Britain that really pushed the whole sending
was it the Victorians?
Letters stuff. Because of the post.
Yeah.
When the post got big. or the postal service, everyone was sort of like, it led to this explosion in people sending Valentine's
cards. Well, that's when the greetings card companies started as well, wasn't it?
Ah, right,
so,
yeah.
And they used to write your name under the stamp.
So do you remember that or?
Oh, no, I do not remember that.
I don't know, you just said it so confidently. I thought, oh, hang on.
I think I might have read about that in Jackie or something, in a magazine.
In a magazine.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me what Jackie was?
It was a magazine. It's a magazine for boomers.
Yeah. But at the time, you were loving kids and you were loving it.
Yeah.
So it was Britain that popularised it in that sense around the world. And get this, though. In Norfolk, there was actually a character called Jack Valentine who would knock on the rear door of your house. Ah, nice. That's good.
Sound effects.
He would leave sweets and presents for children.
Ooh.
And that was their little thing. However, apparently the kids were all terrified of him. Even though he left mostly sweet treats and stuff, they were still like, I'm freaking out on Valentine's Day because we might see Jack Valentine and he's scary looking.
Oh.
So that's quite fun.
So how likely is it they'll be freaked out by the Easter Bunny then?
Pretty likely. Anyone that played The Sims will know that if you didn't pee, you have to make them go to the toilet and then they feel better. And if they don't wash, then you have to make them wash and they feel better. One of the things is that if you don't make them speak to anyone, the social bunny would turn up.
Really?
This sort of mythical creature called the social bunny. I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. And the social bunny would turn up and basically it was just this sort of almost sort of social pinata, which you could just, your Sim could go up to it anytime. Your Sim had no friends. The social bunny would just let it hug it and talk to it as much as it wanted until it got to a point where it was slightly more social. But the idea, I think, being like, it was like, you know, is the social bunny really there or is it just in this person's head? Have they made an imaginary friend? And whenever I think of the Easter Bunny, I think of this social bunny that has like an ear hanging off. It looks like it's got stains on it and stuff. And then it's just there for you to talk at and pretend is
oh
there
God, it
and feel better about
grim.
Yourself. The Sims is fucking dark.
Oh, well, I don't know. Really, I only had little sort of dips into the Sims. So yeah. I would do things like take out the stairs in the swimming pool and they'd watch them all drown and things
of
like
course.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, and there was another good one where if you put a certain type of shelf, I think, or wardrobe in there, and then you made them cook something really hard and their cooking wasn't very good, it would burn the room down.
Mm, it's a bit like the fun fair where you put a Big Dipper yes. over the sea without an
yeah,
end to
yeah.
it and everyone shoots out into the sea.
What's nice is that you used to do that and it sort of just passed down onto us. And I just don't think that's ever going to go away, is there? There's some sort of morbid fascination with that sort of thing, isn't there?
Also taking all the loos out so everyone wheezed on the floor.
Yeah, that was another classic.
That was
one.
Always good. And then that yeah. hospital game with bloaty head.
Yes, theme hospital.
That was fun.
Absolute cracking game. Yeah, yeah. They sort of, that was a game where you had to build a hospital and maintain it and stuff, but within the game they had made up yeah. sort of
I never did
weird
that.
Ailments. No, you just made people pee on the floor.
Yeah, I just did that sort of thing.
Yeah, and then when I'd use your computer and be like, can I play a game on it? And you'd be like, yeah, sure. Have you tried Theme Hostel? And I'd be like, Mum, the hostel's covered in piss. And you'd be
that
like, yeah, so
nice,
I've done good work.
It?
Well, that was a lovely trip down memory lane.
Memory lane.
Amazing. Well, last little thing before we leave you guys, I wanted to say as well, is we got a lovely review on Apple Podcasts from someone called Lolly, who Ooh. Said, great audio and pacing and good chemistry. Diggory and his mother give applicable and refreshing blunt advice and knowledge. Recommend.
Ooh.
Thanks,
yeah, Lolly.
5 stars. So thank you so much, Lolly. Applicable and refreshingly blunt advice and knowledge. Do love that.
Mm.
Do you think at times we're too blunt?
Formerly known as Twitter.
Right. It's been really fun too. It's been so fun, everyone. I've had such a good time. It's been really nice to hang out with you, Mum, definitely. Please do make sure you're following us or subscribe to us wherever you listen to this now, because we'll be back for some more refreshingly blunt advice to give you in your questions on Thursday, so make sure you're there for that. We'll see you then, and to hear all about your Valentine's Day. Until then, Mum, thank you so much, and everyone, we'll see you then.
Happy Valentine's Day!
Bye! You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.